Hey, the start of something special right here, man. Let's go.
Number one fantasy player right here.
Got past the line. Shut up. Know the rules.
I just want to say this to you. Right now, best in the game. I know.
Hello and welcome in to the Pod After Touchdown Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Hoppen, joined as always by my co-host, Andrew Mackins, and our producer, Garner. Fellas, how are you doing after week one of NFL football?
It's in the books, Sam. Week one is in the books. We're all going insane after everything that happened in a COVID week one. Hopefully no one has tested positive yet or will test positive before week two. But I think the biggest thing is the injuries, right? A lot of less practice, no preseason. I think it accounts for all the injuries that we've been seeing this week and a lot of unhappy teams.
For sure. A lot of nicks and bruises from some key fantasy football players. Obviously, the biggest season-ending injury was Marlon Mack, I believe, tearing his Achilles, which is good news for all of the Jonathan Taylor stands out there. But
yeah, not for Marlon
Garner. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing decent. I had fun in the 2020 season of fantasy football, and I'm looking forward to 2021. I'm looking forward to next year. It's going to be a fun year.
Okay, well, always the optimist on this podcast, but we're going to start off today's shows with our kickoff question. We'll do our mental health minute, which will hopefully get Garner back in good spirits. We'll do our DiGiorno players of the week. We'll go into our week one preview and wrap up with a little prop after touchdown. So without further ado, let's kick things off.
And this game is underway.
Okay, so week one is in the books. It's now time to react to what happened. We actually have new stuff that we get to react to, which is exciting. So, Andrew, which player with high usage in week one are you most encouraged by and believe will have a sustainable workload going forward?
Am I allowed to say Devontae Adams? Because because it's clearly, if I had to pick an easy gimme, it's Devontae. He had over 15 targets. But
tied the Packers single game reception record, which I have a feeling he's going to break next week.
I can't wait for that. If I had to pick another, I was pleased by Noah Fant's performance. He was 5 receptions of 6 targets. And 81 yards and a touchdown. So good production on that volume. Now, I don't know offhand, average amount of targets for that position, but it's generally less than your top tier wide receivers. And it was great to see that Fant, obviously still making plays after the catch. And I think even with Sutton on the field when he's healthy, that Noah Fant is a solid intermediate target that Locke is going to trust, I think, even more than Jerry Jeudy going forward.
I like that. Garner, what about you?
I don't think he's going to keep quite the workload, but I like Malcolm Brown. I know he's got Cam Akers to compete against, and I think they're going to get Akers the ball a little bit more, but Brown just looked like the better runner. And, I mean, he fell in the end zone a couple times, which was great. Like I said, I don't expect him to score 24.5 points every week. But easily flex fill, if not RB2, if you need it. I mean, I think, again, he just looked like the better runner on a nice offensive team. So,
for sure, Malcolm Brown, certainly a priority on waiver wires this week. Didn't get drafted in many leagues by my estimation. The guy that I'm going with is another running back, and that's Zach Moss. He is the Bills' goal line back, not named Josh Allen. All of the carries that he got seemed to be close to the end zone. And I think, I don't want to say Singletary is useless at this point, but it seems like they favored Moss quite a bit when they got closer to the goal line. He got a little bit more work in the passing game. So I'm certainly encouraged by that and excited to see what he can do in the coming weeks, especially when they play the Miami Dolphins this upcoming week. Okay, so let's get into our mental health minute. And today, just want to remind everyone that it's only week one. Don't panic. Keep a level head. I think one thing we'd love to do, obviously, after week one is overreact. And while sometimes it's warranted, you also need to be a little rational. It can seem like the sky is falling in on your fantasy football teams, but it's only 1 week. You got plenty more time throughout the rest of the season to pick things back up. You could have suffered a bad beat in week one, but nobody is out of playoff contention yet. It's important to keep things in perspective and really try to grind the waiver wire. Like we said, try to, you know, get some good trades in if you can, and do what you can to bounce back in the weeks to come. But again, it's important to not overstress about 1 week of fantasy football. Anything else to add from you guys?
I think once I started checking the lineups, I felt very much like a hot mess in that regard, like overreacting to a lot of things, thinking of what could have been for week one had I done, you know, certain drafts a different way. And I think that's easier to go down that path when you're on the turn in your drafts, especially. But, you know, for the things, you know, where we're at now, you can only control what you can control. We've talked about that before. So, you know, how many points your opponent scored, not always the best. Look at, you know, what choices you made on your lineup and how you can change your process going forward.
Yeah, one thing, and this has been a little bit easier for me as I've reduced the number of leagues I'm in this year, is just doing what I can to not look at my lineups or not look at scores for fantasy football throughout the day is just a tremendous help in actually enjoying the football that I'm watching, because I'm not stressing about a 3-yard carry that Joe Mixon gets and thinking that that's going to absolutely ruin my week. So it's tough to do, I will admit it, but I think does help in the grand scheme of things.
No, I couldn't agree more with you guys. Just wanted to point out, like you said in the beginning, the waiver wire is a very real thing. Your season is not over yet. I mean, I think in our home league last year, the winner was the winner of the waiver wire. I mean, he had a decent draft, but he just picked up all the right guys throughout the season and just had the perfect team to win. So again, it's I know firsthand, it sucks right now. Got three of my top five guys injured, but you know, keep an eye on the waiver wire and looking forward to just playing my lineup right the next couple weeks.
For sure. Okay, so we're going to get into our DiGiorno Players of the Week. For those of you that are joining us for the first time, this is our opportunity to just trash some players that did not deliver this week. That's why it's called DiGiorno, because it's DiGiorno. It's not delivery. So without further ado, Garner, cue the music. Okay, so for this week, it's got to go to the Brownsiest of Brown players, and that's Nick Chubb. He absolutely shat the bed this week. He only had 60 yards. He fumbled the ball. Can't get involved in the passing game. I mean, the whole Browns offense just looked absolutely terrible. And it was not the type of performance you're expecting from a round one player. We've been off this guy all off season, but he just totally crumbled in week one.
Yeah, the guy with the last name Chubb killed a lot of Chubbs this week. I gotta say, my guy was probably even more disappointing than any other, and that's Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley had, what, 15 carries for, what, 6 yards? Yeah, he had some receptions, he had some receiving, but, I mean, this was just awful. The Steelers' defense became 11 dads for Saquon Barkley, and it was just not great. Not great, Bob. Not great.
It was tough to watch him play behind that terrible, terrible offensive line.
God damn it. God fucking damn it. Number 2 pick! He shit the bed!
That certainly is not what you want to see out of the number 2 pick. Hopefully better days are ahead from him, and fortunately for them, they're not playing the Pittsburgh Steelers every week. But we push on. We are going to do our week 2 preview. Last week, we did some in-and-out players. We didn't do so hot on the players that we were in on. Deontay Johnson was really the only one that we got right there. And on the other side, I think we went 4-for-4 on the players that we had out in Devin Singletary, Austin Hooper, Devontae Parker, and Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones had an okay game, but I think we did pretty good there. So all in all, a good week for us. We're going to do the same format this week. Andrew and I are each going to give 2 players that we are in on, some players that we are confident that you should plug into your lineups, and 2 players that we're out on in players that we think you should find replacements for this week. So Andrew, I'll let you get things started for week 2.
Thank you, Sam. And we already mentioned, you know, Nick Chubb was not great for lineups this week or this last week. But on the positive side, that means that Kareem Hunt is a real thing right away. So I am 100% in on Kareem Hunt. I think you need to start him because he has that combo of floor and upside that you like to see in a running back. We know from his days in Kansas City that he's talented. That's, you know, the whole reason that he warrants a fifth round ADP or warranted a fifth round ADP in our redraft leagues. And I think, you know, you saw it on the field week 1 that he was able to carve out a role for himself. And I don't know if that, you know, Stefanski's going to get in his own head and change the carry split for those 2 because of how the game went or whatever, but I think they have a better opponent than, you know, Baltimore. They've got the Bengals, right, this week. So I think that's a perfect opportunity for both Chubb to get right, but also Hunt at, ideally in your flex spot or RB2 if you're in a zero RB build to kind of fill in and get you the points you need.
For sure. I really like Kareem Hunt this year. I mean, he's shown that he's valuable both in the passing game and the rushing game. If they're in any sort of negative game script, I think he'll be the primary back there. I do agree with you that Chubb has a good opportunity this Thursday night against the Bengals to turn things around, but I'm still not buying into him as probably anything more than a high-end RB2 at this point. One player that's in a similar range who was drafted several rounds later that I'm totally in on this week is Raheem Mostert. He'd be easy to sell after this week with the monster performance that he had, but they play the New York Jets this week, who are clearly the worst team in the NFL. They are just absolutely terrible. They have no playmakers on offense, no playmakers on defense. Mostert led the team last week with 20 total opportunities. He had 15 rushes and 5 targets, one of which he took to the house for a 70-plus yard touchdown. He ran that little sort of corner route from the back, from the backfield that I very much like to run in Madden when I'm playing. The biggest concern here is whether Tevin Coleman gets more involved, since the air quality won't be as big of an issue. At least we don't think it will be in New York. And that seemed to have limited him a little bit this past week. So I'm full in on Mostert this week. I think basically anyone on the 49ers this week is a must play against the New York Jets, who is going to be a defense that you're going to be targeting week in and week out to start playmakers against.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, especially in the case of matchup and just wearing down the Jets and playing with a lead and all of that. They're going to lean on the run game for sure. Tevin Coleman, like you said, it's kind of an anomaly. It'd be hard to start him until we see it.
Spoiler alert, because we'll get to Tevin Coleman later with one of our starts.
Yeah, yeah, not to tease too much away. But matchups are a huge thing to try and take advantage of early, and that's where my next in player goes with Anthony Miller, a guy that I touted a bit as a late-round pick throughout the offseason, the number two receiver in Chicago, at least for now. He had a great game against the Lions and their depleted secondary. A lot of it did come on a longer touchdown, but it seems like Mitchell Trubisky has some trust in Miller. Believe it or not, Trubisky was a QB1 this week, like top 12 guy. So they're going up against the New York Giants. Big Ben returned to action against these same Giants on Monday Night Football. And the second wide receiver there, Deontay Johnson, he was able to put together a pretty good game, 10 targets, 6 receptions for 57 yards. So I like that line for Deontay, and I think that it can happen. I think that's the floor for Anthony Miller, especially if the Bears can't get anything going in the ground game.
I like the Anthony Miller pick. I actually, at the last minute, put him into my DFS cash game lineups and in place of Christian Kirk. And about halfway through the game, I was regretting that. And then I took Crosby out in the afternoon and came back, and Twitter had exploded with, "Oh my God, what a catch from Anthony Miller." And I was like, "Hell yeah, let's go." So that was really fun to see. But I do, going back to that, I do like Anthony Miller. I think that obviously you sort of mentioned it a little bit in that there were some rumors floating around as to whether or not Allen Robinson would be on the team by week's end. And at that point, he would become a must start. He would immediately, I think, vault into the top 20 receivers for rest of season without having Allen Robinson to compete for targets with.
So in that case, would it just be based on volume alone? Because I know that the counter argument would be then he's drawing the number one coverage. And in the case of the Giants, that's James Bradbury. It's a pretty good corner. I mean, I like the situation as it stands because I think he'll be able to see a decent amount of volume and a better matchup. But I don't know how you feel about that. Maybe we shouldn't speculate too much on Allen Robinson's future.
Right. I think the indications now are that Robinson will be with the Bears, at least for this week. I don't read too much into him drawing the best coverage. I mean, if a defense is good, a defense is good. There were a couple of articles this offseason that sort of pushed that notion aside that wide receiver cornerback matchups are really not that indicative of wide receiver performance, because very rarely you're getting like the best guy lining up against, you know, that a specific receiver 100% of the time. I mean, at the top end, it's like a 40 or 50% matchup where two guys are going against each other. So I don't think that would worry me that much. But another guy who has gotten a ton of opportunity that I am fully in on, and that's Will Fuller. I'm so excited for him. It was great to see him not only come out of the game with a ton of opportunity, but come out of the game healthy on Thursday night. Yeah. I think everyone in fantasy football Twitter was holding their breath, wanting him to not come up hobbled. And that was awesome to see. But he had 45% of the Texans' air yards and a 31% target share. I mean, what more do you want?
Sploosh.
They're playing against the Ravens, so they'll need to pass a lot to keep pace with them, Whether Bill O'Brien does that remains to be seen, but I don't really care how good the Ravens defense looked last week. Like I said, it was against the measly Browns, who looked like they hadn't practiced together at all this offseason. So I'm banking on the volume here. I don't care if he draws the top coverage from Marcus Peters. I think he's an absolutely fantastic play. I think he had a quietly good game because he didn't score a touchdown. He didn't have one of his patented big play receptions. He just sort of compiled a, 100 plus yard receiving game without any splash.
Yeah, play. It was crazy because he actually did have a couple 20 plus yard receptions, but they were just like deep down the field, catch it, and he fell to the ground. And it reminded me a lot of what I think we saw from DJ Moore last year, where just like, I mean, I was a little worried because his first target was a drop for Will Fuller, but every other target that went his way, it seemed, was on the money. So you've got a great quarterback in Watson, obviously. And he just, it was automatic in terms of catching it and possessing the ball. He didn't have a ton of yards after the catch, but that's where the upside comes in. So yeah,
love right. And a big thing to note with Fuller is that he was getting the intermediate targets, those targets in sort of the 6 to 12 air yard range that Hopkins sort of left behind. So it wasn't someone else like Brandon Cooks or Randall Cobb who was getting those. And maybe that changes over the course of the season as Watson gets a little bit more rapport with those receivers. But for now, Fuller is his most trusted target, and it will continue to be that way, in my opinion. So moving on to a couple players that we are out on, I'll start with my first, and that's Myles Gaskin. He led the Miami Dolphins in rushing attempts last week, but it's kind of a mess in this backfield with him, Jordan Howard, Matt Breida, and of course, last year's leading rusher for the Dolphins, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who had 5 rushing attempts this past week, which is just absolutely ridiculous. The guy is just a national treasure, in my opinion. But I think Gaskin's role as the passing downs back could be solidified. He was the only running back on Miami with a target, and he had 4 targets, which is pretty good. But with all those other players in the mix, I just think his weekly ceiling is capped right now, not to mention the fact that he's just on a bad team that'll, again, likely be trailing this week. So maybe he gets a couple extra targets, but I'm not buying into him as one of these high ceiling plays right now.
Yeah, they draw a tough matchup again, and I have no other comments beyond that because it's Myles Gaskin. How are you going to put Myles Gaskin in your starting lineup?
All gas, no breaks.
well,
all Gaskin, no breaks.
Let me see it first. I got a player that I'm out on, and maybe I should rethink it after your little nugget on cornerback wide receiver matchups. But for me, it's Terry McLaurin, and I know you love Terry McLaurin, but I saw some, particular good stuff about his matchups throughout like the first 6 weeks of the season that could make him a great buy low candidate as we get going here. But Terry McLaurin going up against the Arizona Cardinals and Patrick Peterson, I feel like is going to lock McLaurin down. He could see the same stat line that he saw last week against the Eagles. Like, that's perfectly fine, but I don't see the upside in McLaurin right now. Last week, I recommended in a few different places to start Chark over McLaurin, and that was kind of a format dependent on which one was better, but Chark got the touchdown. So I don't know. I mean, if the Washington football team has to throw 50 times, then if you believe that's going to happen, then yeah, I would start McLaurin. But I think it's going to be a kind of a pulling teeth style game in terms of his production. And I know you're the Terry truther on the pod, Sam. So what say you about this this matchup?
I think you are way overblowing things. McLaurin didn't have a great game. I mean, he had 7 targets, 5 receptions, and 61 yards. Obviously not the high ceiling that we would have expected, but he played 93% of the snaps. He has been one of Haskins' most trusted targets, and I think his ceiling is way above the 61 yards that he had last week. So I'm going to offer you our first charity prop bet of the year. I think he goes over that 61 yards in their matchup against the Arizona Cardinals. What say you on taking the under?
All right, I'm gonna pull Matthew Berry here because I know I said he's not gonna do great, but we got to split the difference a bit here. I think that somewhere in between the 61 and the, what did you mention, 100 yards as a benchmark for him this week?
I'm not saying
100, but let's say he gets under like 75 yards.
Let's split the difference between that and 61 and make it a nice 69 yards.
All right. I will. What is this? $10 to our mental health initiative?
Sure. We can do $10 for the start here.
All right. I got the under. Terry McLaurin under 69. And let's say, are you on the dot? Like,
what 69.
If it's 69, we both put
$10 in.
Okay. If it's 69, we both put $10 in. If it's under, you will put $10 in. If it's over, I will donate $10 to the...
Wait. You mean if it's over, I will donate $10. And if it's under, you will donate $10.
Wait. Well, if it's over, you won the bet. So do you want to win by donating money or do you want to make me donate the money?
Oh, I want to make you donate the money.
Yeah, let's get our wires untangled here. We don't talk about waiver wires on this podcast, but I was saying if it's over 69, I will pay $10 to the Fantasy Football Mental Health Initiative, our own GoFundMe, supporting NAMI Communicate, at NAMI Communicate on Twitter. Got to get the plug in.
Okay. All right.
If it's under, I am going to be looking for your donation to the charity.
Yes. And if it's on the dot, $20 to the National Alliance of Mental Illness. Okay.
Wait. We should. I'm sorry. If it's on the dot, we should be making Garner donate, but we can't get out of here unscathed.
All right. I'll donate with you. We'll make it $30 total then. So I'll donate 10 too if it hits 60.
If it's on the dot, we do 30 total.
Okay. All right. I like the way this is cooking out. Let's move on. I've got another player that I'm out on, and that's Melvin Gordon. Obviously, we saw Philip Lindsay looks like he's suffering from some turf toe, but it may not be as bad as we once thought. But Melvin Gordon fumbled this past week. We saw what the Pittsburgh defense did to Saquon Barkley, a generational talent at running back, and I just don't think that Gordon has the chops to keep up with that defensive line.
I think that's fair. I hadn't even thought about the matchup, and you had been tweeting hashtag generational talent out a lot last night with Barkley as one of our DiGiorno players of the week, not delivering, but that's a great point. And I'm glad I don't have Melvin Gordon on any teams for that reason, because I think anyone that knows Philip Lindsay is out is going to start Melvin Gordon because he's going to get, you know, the vast majority of the work. And they're, again, pulling teeth just to get some production out of him this week.
Let's go do a quick start sit. Would you rather start Malcolm Brown against the Philadelphia Eagles or Melvin Gordon against the Steelers?
That's tough. I mean, the Broncos could just absolutely suck in that game, and I think that the Rams are committed to the run, so I'll go with Malcolm Brown and ride the hot hand.
I'm in on that too. I'd take Malcolm Brown. I see Garner nodding, so I'm going to assume he's in the same boat as well. Andrew, who's your last player that you're out on this week?
Yeah, we just mentioned Malcolm Brown, who's playing against the Eagles. The Eagles were a really tough game for me to watch last week. We love Carson Wentz on this podcast, but Carson Wentz is an out for me this week. I can't imagine him, you know, I said this on Twitter. It looked like he was, you know, Steve Rogers getting his ass beat by Thanos and his entire army, i.e. the Washington football team's defensive line, this last week, and now he goes up against Aaron Donald and the Rams defense. Like, I can't imagine this going well for him. If Lane Johnson's in, maybe that's a difference maker, but that's something to watch closely, because they had three starters on their offensive line out week one. Miles Sanders could be a great safety valve if he's healthy, but I'm already looking elsewhere for like streaming options, just because Carson Wentz ain't it right now. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, that Washington football team defensive line is nothing to mess with. They are good. I think they're going to be, they could be a trendy defense to pick up in the right matchup. But let's run through a couple start sit questions. The first one being David Johnson, who had a great premiere for the Texans this past week. They play host to the Baltimore Ravens, or your offseason heartthrob, Ronald Jones,
my boy,
host the Carolina Panthers.
Well, Ronald Jones' usage did go a long way to, you know, assuage my concerns of Bruce Arians talk, hashtag Bruce Arians talk. But I think David Johnson did so well that it's hard to, you know, go away from him either. And if he's if you drafted David Johnson as your running back too, and he succeeded week one, I think, you know, especially with Duke Johnson out with an ankle injury, David Johnson's just going to get so much opportunity that it's not going to matter what the matchup is. And I think that risk of Leonard Fournette waiting in the wings against Carolina is what swings the vote towards David Johnson for me.
So last week we were basically in lockstep for our start sit questions, and we're starting off on a different note here because I'm going with Ronald Jones. I mean, we saw last week what Josh Jacobs did to that Panthers defense, absolutely tore them up. I think the Buccaneers are a much better team than what they showed this past week. Their defense is exceptional, and I think that'll give Ronald Jones another opportunity to get 15 plus touches and carry his way into an RB2 or better week in week two. Garner, do you want to break the tie for us real quick?
Yeah, I don't hate Ronald Jones, but I'm going with David Johnson here. I mean, for what Mackin said, I mean, again, he's got the lead role. Fournette's waiting in the wings on Jones. And as good as the Ravens defense is, they gave up, I think, 130 rush yards last week to the Browns. So, I mean, not that the Browns are bad at rushing, but still 130 yards on the ground is 130 yards against them.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, to be fair, Sam, like, I would love to start both of these guys this week. Carolina's a sieve, but... And so that's arrow up for Ronald Jones. But I think David Johnson has the upside of being involved in the passing game too. Like, it's likely Duke Johnson is out this week. So who's the other running back there now? Duke Johnson's out. David Johnson's in.
Deshaun Watson's the other running back.
Deshaun Watson. He can't pass himself, but maybe David Johnson will pitch it to him like DeAndre Hopkins did one play last year. I digress. I think both are startable, but I'm glad we went David Garner.
And these two guys are startable as well. But again, you could have a decision in Jonathan Taylor versus the Minnesota Vikings or Nick Chubb versus the Cincinnati Bengals. I've got Jonathan Taylor. What say you, Andrew?
You know, when I first looked at this, I'm like, what are we doing here? Is this an 8-team league? You have to decide between Jonathan Taylor and Nick Chubb. I pick Jonathan Taylor also.
Okay. Next one is Zach Moss at Miami or Tyler Boyd in that same game going to Cleveland.
So I'd be willing to bet an additional $5 to the charity that you pick Zach Moss for this one. But that's neither here nor there. It's really hard to know whether the situation for the running backs against Miami was good last week because of the Patriots. So I wouldn't hate starting Zach Moss because he's going to get more looks than any Patriots running back did last week. That said, I did pick Tyler Boyd for this one as a foil to your Zach Moss because of the volume I think he'll see and just Burrow gaining more chemistry.
Well, I'm lucky that we did not make a wager before this because I did choose Zach Moss for all the same reasons that I mentioned in the kickoff question. Garner, where are you leading to break the tie here?
I'm pretty torn myself. I think it goes against my better judgment, but I'm going to agree with Mackens again. As much as I do like everything that Zach Moss has shown, I mean, I'm still hopeful and expecting the Boyd hype and chemistry to come. And once Burrow gets into his comfort zone and Cleveland secondary isn't the scariest right now with Zach Moss, I mean, like Singletary's still there. I mean, I know, again, he's fairly becoming irrelevant, but he is still there. And, I mean, Josh Allen runs more than both of them. So I think I'm hoping that Tyler Boyd's going to see those targets we are expecting for him.
I think Moss's usage was masked by the fact that he got a touchdown this last week. He had 9 attempts for 11 yards. And I can't buy into that just yet.
All right. Well, next week when he has 18 carries for 132 yards, he'll be able to buy in. Second to last one, Malcolm Brown at the Eagles, a player that we've talked about a lot today, or Deontay Johnson versus the Broncos.
You know, we talked about Malcolm Brown already. If I'm starting him over Melvin Gordon, I'm probably going to start him over Deontay Johnson as well. It's a really interesting flex conversation there. But like I said, Rams are committed to the run. Ram it in.
I have Deontay Johnson highlighted for this, and this is probably the toughest one for me. I think it went a little unnoticed that he led the team in targets, so I'm going to go with the ceiling there with Deontay Johnson, thinking he breaks out in this second game. Our last start-sit question is James Robinson, who we haven't mentioned today, for the Jacksonville Jaguars visiting Andrews, Tennessee Titans, or Tevin Coleman at the New York Jets.
My Tennessee Titans, eh? I picked James Robinson here. It looked like he got some involvement in both the rushing and the passing game, and we don't know right now what Tevin Coleman is. I would assume Raheem Mostert, the hot hand, stays hot. So arrow down for Coleman. It's really fucking tough, but
We have just totally flipped the script here because I'm going with Tevin Coleman on this one. Again, I'm basically targeting the New York Jets at this point. I think for some of the reasons I mentioned earlier, I think Mostert and Coleman can both have startable games this week. And as fun as it was to see the Jaguars upset the Colts this past week, I think that was a bit of an aberration. I don't think they'll be in a positive game script against the Titans. So I'm going with Coleman here. Garner, do you have an opinion on this one?
I do, and I'm actually going with you this time. I'm going Coleman for the main reason, like you said, that I am much more concerned or scared of that Tennessee defense than the Jets. And I also want to bring up to Mackens and need to ask you, Mackens, you said that Robinson was involved in the pass game. Do you know how many targets he had?
Let me guess. He had one target.
He had one target and one reception that happened to be 28 yards.
Hey,
think I'd consider that saying he's involved in both the rush and pass game. He saw one target.
All right. You guys want me to flip the script? Tevin Coleman, run with it. I'm fine with Tevin Coleman. I thought both of those last ones were hard, so I thought you did a good job this week, Sam, with these, because last week we were pretty much all in lockstep. Now we've got a little bit more information, and I think that goes a long way at making these harder decisions.
Okay, now it is time for a little prop after touchdown to wrap up the show, and this segment is brought to you by our new partners over at Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props, and we want all of you to come hashtag prop up on Thrive Fantasy with us this season. The guys over at Thrive are doing some great work because they have eliminated the need to do countless hours of research, because they only ask you about the top tier athletes in a respective sport, which is the NFL that we're looking at. And you don't need to dig through to find value on player props like you would have to do on all these other sites. So here's how it works. For their NFL contests, all you need to do is choose 10 out of the 20 player prop options to build your lineup, which is a much smaller field of players to choose from than your traditional DFS lineups. Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur. And the more points a selection is worth, the riskier it is. So our listeners can use promo code PAT20. That's PAT, the number 2 and the number 0. When you sign up today, and you will receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more. In addition to that, $20 will be donated to the Fantasy Football Mental Health Initiative. So you can go download the Thrive Fantasy app today in the App Store or Google Play Store by visiting their website, www.thrivefantasy.com. Go sign up and hashtag prop up today. And let's get into some of our favorite props from the Sunday slate. Andrew, what are you looking at this week?
I've got two wide receiver ones again. I'm not sure if I hit on either of the wide receiver ones last week for reception numbers. Keenan Allen, I'm not sure on. OBJ definitely didn't hit his reception number. Fuck you, Baker Mayfield. But I digress. This week, I have some that I like a little bit more, actually. T.Y. Hilton, over 67.5 receiving yards. I think he should smash that against Minnesota's defensive backs. We just saw Aaron Rodgers and his wide receiver core all smash that over under. So 69, if you can get to 69 receiving yards, you're looking pretty nice there. That's for 100 points in your Thrive lineup. And then I've got Allen Robinson over 0.5 receiving TDs, and you get 120 points if this hits. There's been a lot of drama around Allen Robinson this week. He wants to be fed. He wants to score. And if Juju can get two touchdowns against this Giants secondary, Allen Robinson can get one.
For sure. Garner, do you want to chime in with some of your bets this week?
Yeah, I am sad I missed the introduction of Thrive partnership last weekend, but I just want to point out that I love it because I'm a big fan of just throwing together random like parlays with betting. And this is like the most fun way to like almost have like a faux parlay, though, where, again, if one of them doesn't hit, I'm not out of it. Like, I can still have a chance and I still get points for the ones I get right. So right. I just think it's a cool, unique way to do this. But my first one is Josh Allen, 260.5 total yards, passing and rushing. I'm hammering the over there for 90 points. He had, I think, 370. I know we talked about Jets being terrible last week, or just terrible in general, but he's playing Miami, and I don't see how he doesn't get over 260 total yards.
That's a good high confidence pick. Build up your floor.
Without a doubt. I think the trend is going to continue here. Life's too short to bet the under. And I've got two overs in the receiving game. The first is Chris Godwin over 4.5 receptions. That Bucks team, like I said, I think is a lot better than they put out last week. He had 6 receptions last week. I don't think Mike Evans is really himself. So I think 4.5 receptions is an easy bar to reach for Chris Godwin. And the second one is Mark Andrews over 64.5 receiving yards. He is clearly still one of Lamar Jackson's favorite passing weapons in that offense. They're going to be throwing the ball a lot because that's what the Ravens do. And I just think he's in line to have another massive week against the Houston Texans. So I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be a fun week.
Yeah. You're saying we're all hammering the overs. And actually, I got one more for you guys. Looking at Big Ben, 2.5 total. He's against Denver D, so it sounds sketchy. But this is pass TDs and interceptions. I don't see how it doesn't hit. You're combining pass TDs and interceptions, 2.5. I'm taking the over. I mean, with the loss of James Conner, I think they're going to be throwing it even more. They didn't like to throw it to Snell. Like they might have him run in, but like I think you can get two TDs. They'll pick him off one. Boom. You get that. Was that 110 points?
I like that at home too. From, you know, the website we use, the over under is at 55 for the game. Pittsburgh at home. Big Ben, let's cook.
Okay, so once again, go download the Thrive Fantasy app. Use the promo code PAT20 and receive an instant $20 bonus when you deposit $20 or more. And $20 will be donated to the Fantasy Football Mental Health Initiative. But that's going to do it for us today. For Andrew Mackins at Andrew Mackins, for Garner at Garnther, I am at Sam Hoppen, and you can follow our podcast account at Pod After TD. And with that, the Steven Goskowski kick is good.
Titans win!